First, though, those at the UN climate talks in Durban have left it to the last minute to decide the fate of the Kyoto Protocol. The talks will wrap up this weekend, and the future beyond Kyoto, which expires next year, is still uncertain. So too is any deal on a new green climate fund, which is the key to action on carbon emissions in the developing world. Mike Williams is the presenter of the BBC's One Planet program. He's in Durban, and I spoke with him earlier this morning.
Well, in terms of the kind of policy outcomes, as you say, unlikely to see an overarching treaty on limiting global emissions. There's just no appetite for it. Maybe some moves on the Green Climate Fund. It was developed a couple of years ago by the United Nations, and the idea was to get developing countries on the receiving end of up to $100 billion every single year. That should have come into place by the year 2020. It's looking very slow at the moment. I was talking to a senior UN official last night. He said he thought it was possible they might be able to announce the structure and possibly $1 billion US dollars, only 99 still to go.
The fact that the US, that has been supporting the Green Climate Fund, has been still serving as a bit of a roadblock to it, suggests that things have gone backwards.
And it's very difficult to tell here. It's such a strange place, such a strange atmosphere. It's a place of rumours every single day. There's certainly progress being made in some of these areas, but it's very hard to spot it in the avalanche of, you know, the press releases and the position papers and the protests here. The USA is coming under a great deal of criticism here. It's not a party to the Kyoto Protocol, but it is accused of slowing things down. This was supposed to be a settlement for the world post-2012. Now they're talking of post-2020. Canada, a great bit of criticism there, likely to withdraw from the protocol very soon. India is another target for many, refusing to consider emissions cuts. There are rumors that the European Union might make a unilateral declaration to keep the protocol on life support beyond the end of next year, just by extending its own commitment. Strangely, China is also getting a great deal of praise from many quarters for its political leadership. China has said quite clearly that it wants a legally binding treaty. What China hasn't made clear is whether or not it wants to be bound by that treaty, or just wants everybody else to be bound by that treaty. There's a lot of finger pointing, a lot of finger wagging here. 20,000 extra people in Durban, and it feels like an awful lot more. The kind of mood in the conference centre is just very strange, I have to say. There are diplomats and activists, secretaries general and European royalty, people dressed as trees and musicians and dancers. It's a festival and it's a conference and it's a workshop all rolled into one. And as I was saying, somewhere in the complex there are these negotiators working away. You don't see much of them, but they pop out from time to time to give you an odd briefing about, usually about how good they're being, how recalcitrant somebody else is being. And of course, while I'm on to you, I should tell you that the Australians will take every single opportunity that they can find to talk about the carbon tax.
What's the talk there from other countries about a carbon tax or an emissions trading scheme beyond the EU?
There is a concern pretty much everywhere that if you make your goods and services more expensive, then people will go elsewhere. The Australians are getting a great deal of credit among many of the people here for the carbon tax, but you have to understand that it's a self-selecting audience. It's an audience that's come here with a view to cutting greenhouse gas emissions, and that's one particular model which may achieve that.
And Mike, this climate conference is going on in Africa, in South Africa, there in Durban. Are the African countries pushing particularly hard, given, obviously, they're amongst the less well-off in the world, but also the most climate-exposed?
Absolutely. It's remarkable the way that Africa is speaking pretty much with a unified voice here. We spoke earlier about baddies and goodies. There are also, of course, the victims, and many people here from the developing world are angry. They see themselves suffering already. They see climate changing. They see the rains coming at different times. They see crops failing. And they are absolutely furious. The trouble for them is that they don't have very big economies. And theoretically, their vote counts as much as America does, as China does. But that's not the reality. So what you do is see them voting in blocks, G77, small island states. And there are some signs that they're actually abandoning their allegiances with China and India, for example, and deciding just to go it alone.
Because they want more, because China and India are against any kind of legally binding targets, and the African nations think that's the only way to get a fair deal.
Precisely, although I've been talking to many people from Africa and from across Asia, many delegates, what they're at the moment very, very keen on talking about is this Green Climate Fund, although some of them have said we don't want to call it a fund. It's reparations. It's reparations for a wrong that's been done to us by you. You made the mess, so you're going to have to clean it up. And they're pushing very, very hard on that. The plans for this fund were originally, in the jargon, mitigation. Increasingly, Africa and the poorer countries in Asia are saying we want it for this thing called adaptation, effectively living with the climate change because you failed to stop it.
And Mike, 2 years ago in Copenhagen, the science was very much under the microscope, under challenge. In fact, across the other side of town, there was an alternative conference going on, a conference of climate skeptics. What's the mood there in terms of the science? Not inside the hall, obviously, but outside, still a high level of skepticism?
To be honest, Fran, there isn't. There doesn't seem to be much here in Durban itself. I think most of that criticism has come in large parts from the Western world, the industrialized nations, Australia, Canada, US, and Europe. The science within the conference itself is considered by pretty much everybody here to be settled.
That's Mike Williams, presenter of One Planet on the BBC World Service, joining us from the UN Climate Talks in Durban. And a footnote on this issue, annual global carbon emissions are now at record highs, increasing by 49%, that's to 9 billion tonnes, since the UN climate negotiations began 21 years ago, back in 1990. It's 12 minutes past 8 on Breakfast.